I would like to call this meeting of council to order. I would like to say thank you to all who are attending today. Very appreciated. Good to see a good turnout. We have regrets from Councillor Fisk, who has a family commitment and is unable to attend today. Are there any changes to the agenda? A motion for approval of the agenda would be in order. Moved Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded Councillor Frelick. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All in favor? Approved. Thank you. We have presentations today on the Queens Community Aquatic Society issue of a pool. I would ask Celeste Johnson to please come forward if you would.
Thank you, Mayor Bagley, and council members for allowing us to speak to you this morning. So we're going to present an update. We presented here last December, and since that time we've had ongoing meetings with the CAO. We've attended meetings of a presentation of Architect 49. We also had just this past week a meeting with the Mirtha Group, who are pool builders. We've met with MP, MLA, we've created a website, not terribly active just yet, and we've worked with the Nova Scotia Health Authority to conduct a survey, because one of the things that was put to us last year was to decide if people in the region wanted a pool. So we've distributed, collected, and analyzed data from that questionnaire. So who participated in that? It was really a large sample. 760 adults. Most of them did it online where it was posted. There were over 200 did it on paper. Two of our board members distributed questionnaires all along Main Street, post office, caught people going out the grocery store and asked them to participate. 188 youth took it online. So we had a total of 946, which is quite a large sample for the size of the region. The ages were from 11 to 88, and there was an even spread of education and income. We did not get where people lived, so we don't know what the distribution was across the region. So the bottom line was, how important is a pool to you? And as you can see, just even crucial and very important accounts for over almost 60%, and if you add in quite important, then we're talking over 2/3 of the people think, like 72% of people think that it's important. But it's also important to see that some people said it wasn't important, so we didn't have just people who wanted the pool taking the survey. How often would you use the pool pretty much reflected how important they thought it was. What would you do in a pool? Well, the people who didn't think it was important would do nothing. Most people would do lap swim or general swim. And so we have with us today members of the Dam Buster swim team who were representing youth, the future of the region. And they, just to mention, they won the most improved team this past summer in the provincial meet. So Elizabeth, would you like to speak first?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Elizabeth Smart, our youngest swimmer in the team.
We could use it to practice for swim team.
That's right, year round. Okay. Jordan?
The other teams get to use the pool year round, and we don't, so we're not at the same level as them.
Georgia?
We could use the pool to do lifeguarding courses, learn leadership, and life-saving skills that people can use in their everyday lives.
Okay, and Callum?
We can also take, we can also use on the, for scuba diving, or that could create jobs and careers.
Right, especially as we live in a maritime province and learn scuba diving. Thank you very much. So what would you like to see in a pool? Ramp, therapy pool, kiddie pool, et cetera. And we just heard something very exciting last week from this pool company that we didn't put in the questionnaire, and that is something, for example, like a climbing wall, which I think would be the only one in Eastern Canada. But we said, what else should Queens build? Maybe we're asking about a pool, but maybe people would like something else to be built. And the closest thing to it was a bicycle path, which people would like, 40%. And these numbers on the y-axis are percentages. And so you can see that these are the other things that they would like. In the open-ended questions, we put fitness things. In the open-ended questions, some people did mention a library. About 24 people mentioned a library. And so that's important. But when we said, what priorities does the pool have? 80% of the people said they would rather have a pool than the other things that they wanted. So I think that is really critical. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to pay for it. How much do they pay? Most people would pay $3 a day to use it. And we offered monthly and annual fees, and they pretty much all took the lower end and wanted to pay a daily rate. So in summary, the survey was a large representative sample. Two-thirds think a pool is really important. Over three-quarters want to see a pool versus another facility. They don't want to pay for it. So you have you also have a full report of the questionnaire. So the next steps, where do we go from here? Well, we see that it would be important to look at other pools across the country, particularly communities about this size, to see what the cost of construction and, in particular, operating would be. We, of course, need to develop a detailed budget and business plan. We would also put out a request for proposals. We'd seek funding from government. When we presented last year, we talked about an air support structure. We've decided that it would be more important to go with a solid structure, mostly because the federal government would be more likely to fund a solid structure, but for other reasons as well. And of course, we'd seek private funding. And these steps aren't necessary, they'd be simultaneous. So what are the funding possibilities? Well, the federal government is going to announce a social infrastructure program in which they would pay up to 50% of the construction cost. What is really crucial is that that's going to be announced soon, and if we don't have our, if we aren't lined up, if we aren't ready to go out of the gate, we can lose out. So I think it's really important to move forward, because when they make that announcement, we really want to be able to apply right away. There's also current funding from the federal government for health, infrastructure, and sport, and similarly with the province, sport, recreation, youth, and health. And the region of Queens will have retirement of a past debt. And always there's the private sector. And the last thing would be a public campaign, because even though there might be a lot of enthusiasm, that tends not to bring in the most money. So what is our ask today? Our ask is that you approve moving forward with a pool at Queen's Place, that you strike a committee that would include at least one member of council, the CAO, members of our society, and support staff from the region, so that this can move forward. The committee would report to council on a monthly basis, and we're doing that to make sure there are no surprises along the way, we're on the same page. Obviously, consultation would be sought along the way. A final business plan to ask for approval from council would be submitted no later than July 2017, and that's because of this potential potential for funding. As I said, we really want to be out of the gate first. And with final approval selected plans, then we would go on a campaign to get the funding. So I thank you. I'm speaking on behalf of the society, and these are the members of the society and members of the Dam Busters. There's some other people in the audience that are from the Dam Busters. Thank you very much. Thanks so much.
Thank you for the presentation, Celeste. Would councilors have any questions on the presentation today?
Yeah. Well, we wait to see if everybody else has a question. I don't want to be the first one. And you don't mind me addressing.
No, Councilor Fancy, you can ask your question.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, what are we looking at? Well, I don't know if it's fair to ask us at this particular time. What are we looking for? Could you talk before about how much you needed to raise? Is that kind of open up in the air now? Is it going to change?
Well, until we have a plan, until we've decided, have decided on what pool we want and what structure we want, we won't have a detailed budget.
Right.
But we always will have to remember that whatever the construction cost is, we need to add. We had estimated before, and I don't think it'll change terribly much, $3 million in addition to carry us through the operating costs, because as you see, people don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
So membership is not going to cover the cost.
I mean, in other words, the legacy money to go forward to...
Yes. We need to make sure that it will continue to operate without creating a big deficit.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Celeste, another good presentation, thank you. Looking at the architectural designs or the study or whatever you want to do now, I know you're going into this other phase, and looking back over the experience we often have when we hire a consultant group or someone to put our thoughts and plans down on paper, generally it's blown way up more than we would ever want, and then it kind of puts a scare tactic in our taxpayers. Similar to what we did with the library, and I know we presented that. So I think maybe, have you given some consideration to it? This is really what we want, not what you think we should have,
right,
when we come to the, because that's very, very important.
Right. When we had this meeting last week, which went on for, I think it was close to 4 hours, wasn't it? Over 3 hours that we had this meeting with the pool builders, Mirtha. They made it very clear that they would take what we wanted, and we would always work, you know, with them, if that's who we go with. They look really good, but that's an example. And so, no, when I said appropriate consultation, I don't mean a huge big company that does the whole thing and costs, you know, $300,000 to do the consultation. No, not at all. We've been doing work all along.
Yes.
And Deb Spartanelli is a contractor, and she's knows how to look for things and that kind of thing. We won't do that.
Yeah, and I know we had a discussion about, you mentioned the library, and there were so many percent, I can't remember what it was, 20% or whatever it was that.
Yeah, it was about 24 people, because that was an open-ended question.
Right,
put into questionnaire.
So you're open to partnerships of some sort, if that could be done. Then you can resource out your funding, your capital monies and that sort of thing.
Right.
Having a
right. It would be, it would be lovely to see Queen's Place as a community center that just about anything anybody wanted to do, they could go there.
Yes.
And if we're seeking funding for a pool, maybe on the other side there could be funding sought from the federal government for a library at the same time, so that you end up with dovetailing in your efforts and dovetailing with the funding, that you would have a real draw for people who want to sit and read, people who want to swim.
Yes, Councillor Kelly?
I just want to know, is the website live?
Yes, but it doesn't have much on it because it is live, and I haven't put anything on there because I wanted to wait and see where we were going.
Well,
if we were going.
That'd be great. Well, I just want to know what the address is. People can check it out as you go.
It's
along.
On
Facebook.
It's on Facebook.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A Facebook page.
Oh, I see.
And if you put Queens Community Aquatic Society or QCAS, it should show up.
Okay.
Councillor Crowe?
Thank you for the presentation, Celeste. One question, you started with a very different vision.
Yes.
You came back to us, we kind of had a very different vision that we presented back to you. And my question is, how are both sides going to meet in the middle? When you had your meeting with this company, did you feel that what they were presenting is something that would satisfy the previous vision that the region had in the, you know, the dome versus the, you know,
right, no.
Solid?
Well, we have dropped the dome idea.
Yes.
And so when we met with people, they are design and build.
Right.
So they design and build the pool. And their view is that, and it makes sense, is that then the structure is really the outside and doesn't have to be a big fancy deal.
Right.
So you'd want it, of course, the outside to blend in. You'd like it to look like it's a consistent design.
Right.
But it doesn't have to take into account all kinds of additional things. It's really just the shell to keep the pool insulated. So it shouldn't be a huge expense compared to if you were starting and you had to add cafeterias or
right.
extra dressing rooms or those kinds of things. So it should be a simpler design.
Right.
Because the focus would be on the pool.
Right. The last time we ran into problems with change rooms and washrooms,
yes,
and
yes,
all
yes,
of that.
Yes.
Is that still part of the issue that you're facing? Should you move forward?
Yes, I mean, those are things that would have to be looked at. And they were walked around. The
okay.
Mirtha people were shown around. Dev showed them around.
Okay. So you're comfortable that there could be, it's a design that would satisfy all the needs?
Yes, I don't think it would happen in one day, but
no.
But sure, I think that, of
and
course,
the
I
partnership.
Think we had the feeling with that company we wouldn't work with anybody. I don't think you would want to work with anybody that you didn't have this feeling that there was a lot of reciprocity and there was a lot of discussion back and forth. It wasn't, well, we're the designers and we know how to do this.
Right.
It wasn't that at all. It was really, what do you want, and how can this fit with what is here?
Any other counselors have questions? Councilor Fancy?
I'm just waiting to see if anybody else is going to ask anything. Again, as we look at the whole package, what we're looking at is that our community is now, as I was talking to somebody the other night, but I think when stats come up, we might be down below 11,000 in the whole region. We've got to, one thing that we need to do is building up, and part of it is infrastructure. And going around talking to different people who moved even into the Milton area, I see that they moved here because the privateer hockey, because of things like that, because we offer those things here. The hospital, that's all part of things that people do. And getting out and trying to talk to some of the older people who, like you said, 13% didn't want it at all, right? Well, I've talked to some people, I said, what about a pool? They said, don't want it. And I said, okay, why don't you want it? Do you swim? Yes, don't want it. So you don't want to swim, and he said, no, we don't want to pay for it. So the 13% is, they don't want it, they don't want to pay for it. So when
okay.
they said they don't want it, it's
yes.
it gives up maybe even the faults of that 13% because they want it, but they just don't want to pay for it.
Right.
So Councilor Fancy, would you have any action item resulting from the presentation today?
Okay, we would be for a recommendation at this particular time?
It would be timely.
Okay. It is my recommendation, it is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality direct staff to develop a report on offering a municipal clean energy. Oh, no, I got the wrong one here. Sorry. I knew I got one here. I thought I had it right here in front of me. That was the first one I came up on. I couldn't find it. Does someone have that there, if you don't mind me asking? I didn't.
Which one is it?
It wasn't distributed.
Pardon me?
It wasn't distributed.
It wasn't distributed.
It wasn't distributed, no.
It wasn't distributed.
We'll take a 5-minute recess
okay.
while we work through this.
That's my first.
We will resume council meeting. Mm-hmm. Councilor Fancy, you have an issue to bring forward.
First, apologize. I should have looked and saw that wasn't there at that one, and that makes it exciting to start the day. It is recommended that the council refer the presentation to staff to undertake public engagement and return to council with a report outlining options for next steps to move forward.
A seconder to that motion? Deputy Mayor McLeod? Any discussion on the motion? Ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you very much, and thank you, Celeste, and the society for coming. Do we have any petitions to be presented today? Any petitions to council today? Third call for petitions? There are none. We will move on to public question and comment session. If we have any member of the public gallery that would like to comment today, please provide your name and address.
I'll just wait for the noise.
That would be okay, Leon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Leon, we will continue with the meeting. Thank you.
Leon Robertson, College Street in Liverpool. Just a couple things, my good Mr. Mayor. At the last meeting, I mentioned about possibly having public meetings prior to your budget deliberations and so on, or at that time, public meetings, perhaps one in Liverpool and one in Caledonia. You indicated that you would take it under advisement. I wonder if you've taken any action on that at this point in time.
It's still an action item in progress.
It's still alive, is it?
It is.
Thank you. The other thing there, under 12.1 there, you have with respect to community gardens and so on, and your information there is very positive, as possibly supporting it, first of all, and possibly providing some pieces of land and so on where this could take place. As you know, there's one in the works now, or has been going for the last few years, I guess, up in the Mount Pleasant area there, community garden, and that seems to be very successful. I've not been involved in it myself, but I know a number of people have. But I'm looking at it next year because I've been having gardening for a number of years, and I sort of like to get back into it again. So I think that's a positive note there for you, Mr. Mayor. And referring to the presentation here, I think it was a very good presentation, and a positive action as far as council is concerned is moving forward. Just a couple of comments. I noticed from going through the information that was provided for the presentation, one thing in here, it says they're looking for possible funding from the Region of Queens, recovering the past debt. What would that be? What debt is it? Is it their debt, your debt, or and what are we talking here?
At this point, I'm not clear on that.
Is that right? Because I didn't know. I assumed that they were a voluntary body sort of thing, and at this point, unless they have some debt from talking to their architect, the information they provided before. So perhaps that's something that you can bring back at a future meeting?
Certainly. And it will be part of the process as we move forward in partnership with the society as per the motion today.
Right. Just one further comment with respect to that. I think it's positive. It's the old story, if we can afford it, and that will be determined as you go through the process. Now, the original proposal a year ago, back in December, a little over a year ago, they came in with the dome aspect that they would be looking at that, and had information. Now I understand from the comment this morning, they're going away from that. They're looking at a conventional build. Well, they were coming in at about a $2 million figure at that point for the construction. And then you people had Architect 49 do a analysis for you, or do I provide information. And according to what they provided, a conventional build would cost $5.7 million in capital costs. And the air support system went from $2 million, as they were saying, to $4.6 million, as what Architect 49 provided you people. And I know that this will all be sorted out as you go through the process, but it seemed to be a big difference there when they were talking $2 million, and when you people come back, or your architect did, and went and more than doubled the cost for a similar, maybe not the same, but a similar structure. So it seems to be quite a bit of discrepancy there.
Well, I think going forward, those issues will be resolved and identified through the process. One needs to keep in mind that Celeste did mention this morning that having a solid structural building does open up opportunities for other funding applications.
That's right, I realize that, and I'm not saying that that the air supporting system should be considered any further, and I understand your comment there, and it sounds very positive. My only comment was the fact is there seemed to be a big discrepancy there when you people did that, had your architecture, the numbers, and theirs.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the public would like to comment this morning? Okay, we'll move on to approval of the minutes of the last regular council meeting of January the 10th, 2017. And do I have a mover? Approval of the minutes. Councilor Muse, seconded. Councilor Johnson, any discussion? You ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have nothing today under dangerous or unsightly. Under 8.0, we have beginning at 8.1, property assessed clean energy program. Would Richard Lane like to come forward from economic development? Councillor Johnson, would you like to take this for
sure. I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality direct staff to develop a report on offering a municipal clean energy program in the Region of Queens Municipality.
A second, Councillor Crowley. Richard, would you like to brief us on this?
Sure. So, Property Assessed Clean Energy is a program that allows buildings to achieve energy efficiency improvements, the likes of insulation, HVAC, solar panels, through a simple financing method, which would be through a municipal unit in this case. The general idea behind that would be to effect energy savings, increase property values, to increase contractor capacity within the region for that kind of work. It was a topic of interest given the number of dwellings that we have in Queens County that would really benefit from energy efficiency improvements, the amount of money that's spent on fuel costs by residents, and the opportunity arose to ask a group of the Dalhousie Masters students, known as Management Without Borders, who will research and look into a topic on behalf of the contractor. And in this case, we asked them to carry out a report into Property Assessed Clean Energy. We worked with them on that since the fall term, and they delivered their final report, which is included in your minutes, in December, which was the conclusion of their project. The Management Without Borders program, as I say, is a master's. It's an interdisciplinary group of master's students at Dalhousie. So it's made up of master's students in public administration, in environmental sciences. And when we pitch an idea to them, it's a competitive process, and so the students get to choose a topic that they would like to carry out research into. And so we were fortunate enough to have a team that wanted to work on this project. And so we had a team of four students.
Any councillors have any questions on this issue? Councillor Crowley?
Richard, the report, a lot of reading for sure, hard to kind of piece it all together for those who don't understand maybe the question. But
sure.
I have a couple questions. I know that we've done, like the Clean Foundation offers a service.
Okay.
What is the difference between what we would be offering and what they're currently offering?
CAO Rich McClellan would like to respond.
Sure. So very specifically, the example with Lunenburg, Digby, Shelburne, and Yarmouth is they have hired Clean Foundation to be their administrator. So fundamentally, our responsibility would be as the financing agent. We provide the loan secured because we can put a first lien on a house. But in some cases, whether it's Clean Foundation that can be hired as the administrator of the program, or Efficiency Nova Scotia, or there's others, or we could self-administer. They can run a program, however, they don't have the financing to offer. They would need to find the financing to offer the program.
The way I understand it now is the Clean Foundation, if you qualify, they will finance it for you. Not finance, they'll just do it for you. Through a grant.
They offer a service for energy efficiency audits,
right,
which is a sort of precursor to any work which is done. So you can engage in an organization like that to come in, and they will do a very detailed study of your house,
right,
and determine where the best energy efficiency measures would be implemented. And then, you know, a PACE program would be one method of actually financing that work.
And just to clarify, that service is funded through the demand side management charges that we all pay, and it's paid through Nova Scotia Power or government to them to pay it. So
right.
They can offer services.
Councillor Kelly?
I wanted to understand, sorry if I missed this, sorry, might have to run out, but the PACE program, right, there's the home warming and the Efficiency Nova Scotia, right? How does this all fit together? Like, I was reading the report and I couldn't understand if PACE was just another program within that, or PACE is the umbrella and everyone else is underneath this. I don't understand how it all works together, because there's the home warming program, which I know there's a lot of people in our community in the region of Queens have already signed up and already received the benefit of the home warming program, which is absolutely free to those that qualify for it. So, and I understand that this is one that you would pay for, but I'm trying to understand that you know, who would go for that if they didn't qualify for the home warming, and they could get loans cheaper than what the region of Queens could allow, you know, could provide them with.
I'll ask the CAO to respond.
So the home warming, again, is a program offered through government for, and I assume you're talking about the seniors one, or the?
No, home warming is open to everybody.
Low income?
Yes, it is low income.
Yep. Low income. So that is, again, so that was funded through the DSM program, as some of Efficiency Nova Scotia's offerings are, to reduce energy consumption across the province. So that is one grant or subsidy program that's out there. Efficiency Nova Scotia is an administrator of the demand side management program. So we all pay in our tax bill a certain amount for achieving energy efficiency on the electrical side. And they offer things, so you go in and get cheap LED bulbs, or the things change sometimes, different insulation, you can get grants. And those grants could be very much part of a PACE program. So for example, if an audit was done and the typical outcome is to install more insulation in your roof, the program would secure the rebate for that insulation or whatever other measures you might take. However, at the end of the day, you still need to pay for those things. So the PACE program, or the municipal financing program, offers the ability to pay for it. So typically over up to 10 years at a reasonable interest rate, you can pay for those energy improvements, and municipalities are able to offer the financing mechanism by using the first lien on the home as the security.
Right, okay.
So it's a financing tool.
Richard Lane, you have some.
I think that there's also a sort of slightly different level of scale. So, you know, a lot of the quick wins that are commonly done as an outcome of the energy efficiency audit are things like insulation, draft proofing, relatively small measures that are relatively cheap but have a relatively big impact. What a PACE program can do, though, is allow people to access financing for larger scale implementations. So, you know, whether that would be heat pumps or new glazing or replacement or these kinds of size of finances.
Okay.
Two yes, Councilor Kelly?
The first one is, in my understanding then, that this program would be completely, if we took it on, this would be completely administered by the Region of Queens. It would be, no? Okay, so I need to understand the, how it's administered then.
CAO?
So again, so the recommendation here is to bring a report back for options. Most likely we would recommend mirroring the program that's offered by Lunenburg. The Queen Foundation is paid to administer it. We would have capacity challenges in terms of administering an additional service from
yeah.
there, so it would be outsourced through Clean Foundation. Our role would be to provide financing.
Okay.
It would be an option, but
yes.
Yes. Much more likely to use.
Councillor Kelly, I'm going to move on to Councillor Johnson.
Okay.
I just have one quick question. I should know that. Is this open to small commercial as well as residential, or is it just commercial?
CAO?
Or just the residential.
Residential, my understanding of most recent is that currently the legislation does not permit for commercial buildings, but it's a desire to enable that going forward, and I'm not quite clear on what the problem was for that, but I understand that it's residential right now.
Okay, thank you.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
In addition to Councillor Johnson's question about commercial versus residential, I'm wondering whether it would be available to landlords who provide residential housing.
Yes.
It will be. Okay. And one other question. I know that we've worked and we had a discussion at the last meeting regarding the municipal well drilling update. Is that part of this PACE program too? Or I know it was mentioned there somewhere. Under
it's
the funding.
Being looked at separately. Yeah. It could potentially be offered through the same administrator.
Okay.
So it's possible, but they are two separate.
They're two separate.
Yeah.
Any other counts? Councillor Kelly?
Is there any information in the report to, maybe I missed it, to understand why there's such an uptake in Lunenburg and not so much in Kings County? Is that where Digby is? It was like there was a huge difference in how people perceive the program.
Sure. No, I don't, there's not actual answers to that specifically in the report. No, I think you know it would be possible to drop some sort of anecdote as to why that might be. But I think one of the key components that they did identify in the report is the need to advertise and the need to get information out amongst residents and you know effectively gauge support from residents as to the need for a service like.
I'm sure it's in this report somewhere, but there was the impact on staff, and I know that if we're going to put it out to a company like Clean Nova Scotia, it may be minimal, but you talk about marketing. We would be responsible for marketing, we'd be responsible for the financing part of it, we'd be responsible if someone defaulted on their payments. Is that all correct?
CAO?
So that's what would come back in a report with the specific responsibility. Generally, as Richard indicated, there's a lot of marketing and community engagement to do around energy efficiency. So that's something that both Efficiency Nova Scotia and Clean Foundation have programs and they understand how to do that very well. So it would be unlikely we would do our own marketing on that, but it is possible.
Okay. Any other councillors? Councillor Fancy?
Yes, go along with what with Councillor Frerlich. Reading through the report, it's huge, and again, it's what has been already said here. That I looked down there in Lunenburg and I don't think it was Mahone Bay, was it? There were quite a few people that went in. I think it was something like $5,000 average, things like that. Is that can we? That isn't the PACE program there, you say. Is that what you're trying to say, that they don't have the PACE program, but they have a different program, but it's under the PACE program? Like, I don't know fully what you, like, I've been listening to some, and I don't understand fully.
I'm not quite sure what you're referring to there. So the PACE program, the municipalities closest to us who have undertaken the PACE
right.
program are Lunenburg, Bridgewater, Digby, and Shelburne.
Right.
And each municipality is able to set limit on how much they want to commit to the PACE program. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
So first off, that means that there's a limit you'd be able to set to what could
be. Yeah, and so each of those four municipalities set a cap for their sort of first presentation of how much they were comfortable or willing to put forward. The municipality, the district of Lunenburg, very quickly got to that limit, and both them and Bridgewater are looking to extend that in a sort of second phase because of the success of the program. I'm not sure if that answers your
question. Definitely, it's part of what, because I want to know how far we go with this, because I don't see any numbers except for what numbers they are putting forward. And is it something we can be able to look at and say, hey, this has been successful for them or not, or
very
whatever
so.
May be.
Yeah, very much so. And so at the back of the report, there's a section where the researchers interviewed municipal staff from each of the municipalities that have implemented it so far. And I think that's a section that's really worth digesting. There's a number of takes on there in terms of the staff commitment, and also there's a piece about where there would be a potential to join in with joint enterprising, so which would reduce certainly the cost for that by effectively using material that's already been put together. But also the section of how much the program, or how much the municipality wants to commit to a program in the first phase, and they talk, the researchers talk about that.
Okay. Councillor Mews, I believe you had your hand. Good. Councillor Frelick?
I just have one more question. I'm still trying to understand the clean foundation, because at the moment, if you qualify, if you're low income, you can get all those benefits for free. What we're offering here, is it across the board that anybody could apply? And that, so there's no qualification as far as income. It's anyone within the region of Queens could qualify if they pay taxes.
Yeah, clearly, if you were in,
I'll let the CAO respond.
Through the mayor to council. Clearly, if you qualify for the low income rebates, you're going to grab those. Those are free.
Yeah.
And one of the key qualifiers would be you'd have to be in good standing with your taxes and your historical tax bill to make sure that we're not taking on financial risk. I would say that it's more than probable that people participating in the home warming may not be the same demographic that would participate in the clean energy financing. I don't think that there would be a high overlap between the two.
Richard, can I add to that? I think that's very true, but it is open to everybody. And the advantage is that theoretically, at least, there's a lower interest rate through a PACE program than it would be through other forms of financing. The other advantage is that if for somebody who taking on additional credit would be problematic, this would allow them to do that, as long as they are in good standing with their taxes, and that is the main qualifier for entry into the program. That and the fact that the energy efficiency audit has recommended technologies which are actually going to pay themselves back. This is really about allowing people to save money, over a period of time by investing in energy efficiency measures which effectively will pay for themselves over a period of time.
And it's also in the report you talked about it as an economic driver, because everyone who participates, we're using local contractors to do that. Is that a must for us to be able to do that?
I think that's one of the things that would very much be part of the report.
Okay.
That came
and
back.
We're
in a position where we can shape criteria that we would want to have the PACE program to report.
Thank you.
I think we've been around the board a couple of times. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous. Thank you very much. We'll move on to 8.2, Visitor Information Center Kiosk Project. Councillor Mews, would you like to take the lead on this one?
Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves a proposal by Rex Willoughby to prepare a detailed analysis and design a document for the development of a self-serve visitor information display panel at a cost of $1,500 from the Economic Diversification Budget.
Have a seconder for that? Councilor Fancy? Richard Lane, would you like to brief us on that?
Sure. So this is a really interesting initiative. We were approached by a local resident and computer programmer, Mr. Willard, who had, he is, I believe, a retired computer science
professor.
That's the word I was looking for. And he had previously worked on a system that allowed students to access information using digital technology. And it occurred to him that a use for that might be for visitor information in positions where visitors can self-serve and find information that they would like. So he approached us and made a presentation with some equipment that he is prototyping. It certainly caught the imagination of something that we might want to encourage.
Would our CAO have anything to add at this point?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Richard, I've had a conversation with Mr. Willard a year or more ago about this, and he presented it to me, and I was kind of excited about the, it's kind of new technology, and it's something that is, I don't know whether it's interactive or not, but it could be at that point,
Sure.
I mean, you go on there and you do things. And I, depending on, it would be at the VIC Center, is that where it would be?
So what Mr. Willard is recommending or suggesting is a phased approach to this. So in step one, it would be about prototyping
okay.
and just developing a system that could be demonstrated for its worth. And so probably one of the things of doing that would be to see how people actually interact with a system like this. And so doing it at somewhere like the VIC where you could actually see what people are doing, how they're using it, where they're navigating their way through it. So yes, but I don't think the use is necessarily limited to the VIC by any manner of means.
Can I ask?
Yes, Lee.
So ownership, would we take ownership of that prototype?
Yes. Yeah.
Councillor Fancy?
Richard, I understand too, just for the public's sake, is to say this $1,500, it would be incredibly a lot more if it were if we were to just to go and purchase a program such as this, where he's using as a prototype, it becomes something that we can be able to get in on the ground floor to be able to have something that's interactive, and for him to use us. I don't like to say it's guinea pigs, but this is to have something that we could be able to get in where before it's a
And just to be clear, for the step one that's being recommended here for the sum that's mentioned, the bulk of that work is about the presentation of a design document rather than actually delivering a final polished product. In order to do a system like this, you do have to do quite a lot of analysis on how a system might work, how it would be best used, what kind of content would be most appropriate, and that's the bulk of this work, is the production of that document. However, there is also some prototyping work in there. He has a screen with touch sensitivity and utilizing a tiny little computer called a Raspberry Pi. It's about this size. And to try these kinds of technologies out, just to see how they're going to work. But it certainly $1,500 doesn't pay for a final finished polished product, which is going to be installable in different locations. However, it certainly would be an interesting start to the project. And to answer your question, to buy a ready-made product like this is certainly substantially more expensive.
Councillor Freeland?
I think it's a great idea, and it's a great partnership between someone from the community and someone stepping up. I just have a question about, you answered some of it, the $1,500. So let's call that phase one. So phase two, what are we looking at approximately for phase two? And
we wouldn't know that until the analysis and design
okay.
is done.
It's not.
But at that point, you know, we would definitely be coming back to council with more detail of what it would actually take to deliver a final project.
Right. But these systems are not like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. These are
to buy off the shelf. They certainly can be.
They can be.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so a similar project installation could easily be $10,000 to $15,000.
Okay. And second question is where does the information, where does he pull from? Is it pulled from our website?
That's one of the questions for that design. So that's really, when you're talking about databases of information, the fewer sources of information you can get away with, the better, because
right.
then you don't have duplication, you don't have to make changes in multiple places. So you know, one of the things that we would want to be talking to him about is where that content comes from. Can we reuse current content rather than creating all new content? You know, another question is about how that content gets updated, and you know, are we able to do it? I think it's, you know, would we have to go back to a program to do that? So you know, there's a number of questions in there, but that's what the analysis is about.
Okay, and we'll never know that if we don't start.
Exactly.
Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm all for partnering with Mr. Willard and as a member of CUNY, as Councillor Frelick said, to put this forward, and we're getting a huge deal on this to get this done, and it's exciting kind of technology. My only concerns are in that what we're agreeing here, if we choose to vote on this today to say to proceed with this, is that it's just to spend $1,500, it's just to get a prototype in, it's just to see how that would benefit the region of Queens, because I think it's a great idea to be able to, we have the VIC, people are there to engage people already. It's nice to be able to engage with people at Queens Place or at the town hall on all of those different touch points. But my concern is going forward that, you know, there's maintenance and there's technology upgrades and there's you know, a demand from staff to actually keep this thing up to date and going the same way as we do with our website now, and trying to keep things up to date on that to try to keep something else up date. So my concern going forward would be maybe the huge cost that's associated with this in the long term. So I would definitely only want to look at this prototype for now and not go any further until we completely understand a full report on how much this is going to cost on an ongoing regular basis for the future.
For sure, and I think the final sentence of the paper there is that at that point the decision will revert to council when it proceeds once we have.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Another question regarding, I know what Mr. Willard has in mind that he wants to create, and you say that which is apparently unique, otherwise it wouldn't be going through this prototype process. But you said there are off-the-shelf versions available. So how is his going to be different? And you have to go through the whole patented thing too in order to make it marketable in the future.
Yeah, so I don't know that, I mean, the approach of self-serve kiosk for this, their information isn't
new.
Especially unique. You know, there are, it's new, certainly new to us, there are provincial VICs that use a kiosk technology, but the opportunity here is to create something relatively unique in that it's sized and shaped for us.
Oh.
And so, you know, sometimes it's a little comparing apples and hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other councillors? Are we ready for the question of the motion? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We will move on to 8.3, unsolicited proposal, Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center. Councillor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on this?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the agreement with Julie Babin, the welcome mat frame shop included in attachment 2 of this report.
Second, Councillor Frelick. Yes, I would ask the CAO at this point if he'd like to update us on this.
Sure. So shortly before Christmas, we received an unsolicited proposal regarding using the town hall, and staff were quite receptive of the proposal, where it meets a need and challenge we had found that we are realizing over the past year as we were working to revitalize the town hall and contribute to arts and culture and things to do and see on Main Street. So we worked with Julie to develop an agreement whereby we would provide the workshop room as space in return for some service, and those services being providing some recreation program and also providing presence at the town hall. And the opportunity also gives an opportunity for revenue for both sides. So with that, staff recommend that this proposal will enhance our service delivery at town hall and help contribute to a thriving facility.
Any questions of councilors? Councilor Fraley?
As you know, I'm thrilled with this, another partnership that I think would work well for the town hall. We've been working hard trying to create the atmosphere at the town hall with some success, but it really requires a full-time person spearheading it. So I will certainly be voting for this. But I had a couple questions in the contract. I understand that there's a budget of $2,500 per year for minor events and expenses. I also understand from the past that that amount has been used for the janitorial services, and I want to make sure that that is not the way it's happening again. That should just be for programming. Can anyone confirm that?
CAO?
So through the mayor to council, the $2,500 a year also includes up not ongoing janitorial expenses, but cleanup and setup for events. So if something is set up, that's the funding that that has contributed to that.
Can I ask
yes, Councilor Fraley.
Okay, just back on that, that does take a lot of the actual funding. So perhaps we look at that at budget time to make sure that we're getting the most for that very small amount of money, that we're, if we're asking people to step up and host events and marketing and all of that, $2,500 is not a very big amount. And if you take out the setup and the teardown, it's even less. So I do have an issue with that. Also, the second part of it is there's currently no internet in that building. It's been provided by the festival that's in the building. That will be coming to an end. So can anyone confirm if the internet's going to be available in that second floor?
CAO?
So that would be separate to this agreement. I know you think the internet would be a good service in there, so that's something we can look at separately, certainly.
Okay.
Before I move on to the next councillor, I'd like to make a point. As chair, I like to see councillors in their chairs during council meeting, and I do appreciate the fact that councillors do, at certain times, need to leave their chair. I would ask you to please keep it at a minimum. It's difficult to hear the presentations when councillors are not in their chair. So I will move on to Deputy Mayor McLeod, who had a question.
Richard, I have a question and just an understanding about the commission sales. It says in the terms and agreements that Julie, if I can just use her first name, Ms. Bavin, receives 80% of commission splits on art sales. Kind of explain, what is that, her own art sales or art sales that are in the building by other individual artists? What does that mean?
Sure. So the original policy that council approved regarding fees for use for art shows and things, we rescinded last year to try to encourage some artists to just use it. However, a commission for, you know, showing, promoting, and those things is normal in different art, whether it's galleries, obviously it's a higher number, you know. So what we've proposed is that, so currently we're receiving no revenue from any sales inside. We've recommended that as an incentive to this, is that Julie would receive 80% of art sales in there, and the region would receive 20% on art sales in there.
I guess maybe the word splits was a little, that's a confusing word. Thanks.
Any other councillors? Councillor Kelly?
I just wanted to be clear on the reporting of this particular agreement, is that this is a facility within the region of Queens, and the facilities are all under the direction of a recreation director, when we have a recreation director, and that Julie's reporting on what's happening at the Arts and Culture Center would be reported to the recreation director?
CIO?
Through the economic development. So the town hall has been programmed through economic development for the past year.
Councilor Fancy.
Yeah. I think it's a great proposal. I think it's fantastic somebody is stepping up and wants to do something. But I have some other questions too along with this. And again, this goes along with Deputy Mayor McLeod just said, is it so that we have someone there who's going to try to promote, to try to be there to try to bring in different artists and or whatever it may be. Do we have a right as a region still to be able to put up workshops or to do anything we would want to do up there, or is that taken out of our hands? So just so that, you know, we don't get into an argument and say, oh no, well we will try to direct everything through Ms. Babin, but I mean, if there was something that wanted to be done separately, that it could still be done up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So, Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Just one other question which just came to mind now. Thank you. Hours of operation, hours of opening, will that increase? Because I know that sometimes on the weekend, the town hall is not open specific hours. So, what are the hours of that?
So, through the mayor to council, that's a question we'll have to confirm. My expectation was the current hours, obviously, particularly when there's artwork to be shown, there would be an incentive to be able to be open on Saturdays and selling things, particularly when the market is just around the corner. So I think there's definitely opportunity.
Great, thank you.
Councillor Johnson?
Just one question, looking at going ahead, as venues happen in there, is there any vision of possible issues with accessibility? Handicapped accessibility to the second floor there and those rooms upstairs?
So through the mayor to council, the second floor is not wheelchair accessible.
Yes.
And that is a challenge with the facility currently.
Every councilor had their question? Are you ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Thank you, Richard and CAO. We'll move on now to 9.1, strategic priorities. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Yes, I would. I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the strategic priorities for this council recommended in this report as focusing on A, growing the economy and population, B, delivering desirable municipal services, and C, governing to best municipal practices. 2, approve a fiscal mandate for preparation of the 2017-2018 municipal budget aiming to achieve a zero residential tax rate increase. 3, approve the priority actions outlined in attachment 1 of this report. And 4, direct staff to initiate the process to reinstate a committee of the whole with a standing agenda established based on the approved priorities.
Seconder. Councilor Fancy. Any questions of the councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I have a question. Number two, it says, and we certainly would strive to achieve this, I know, you know, as best we can, aiming to achieve a zero residential tax rate. Where does the commercial tax rate, does that apply in that?
One would appreciate the two would be similarly treated.
Mm-hmm. But it's just specific, says residential. Can we ask for a friendly amendment and just take out a zero tax rate increase?
I think the intent is to have a zero tax increase. Whether the question of adding commercial to residential is the question. That can be a friendly amendment to have that added if you wish.
Yep. Can we ask the clerk?
Yes, I have a question from the CEO, from the Mr. Clerk.
We would have to have a secondary motion to amend the main motion that would be considered prior to consideration of this main motion. Then we can consider the new main motion as amended.
Okay.
Our clerk suggests that we should go for an amendment to the motion formally. Do we have an amendment to the motion?
Can I amend my own motion?
Yes.
Okay, I make an amendment to the motion that would say aiming to achieve a zero tax rate increase.
Seconder to that amendment? Councilor Mews, any discussion on that amendment? Ready for the question on the amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? Unanimous. We're now back to the amended motion. Any discussion on the amended motion? Are we ready for the question on the vote? All those in favor? It is unanimous on the amended motion. Thank you very much. We move on to 9.2. Policy review project, and I would ask Ms. Clerk Ann McDonnell if you would like to proceed to the desk.
Morning, this is just a very brief update with respect to the policy review project. To make everyone aware, the policies and bylaws have been uploaded to the RQM website. I have meetings arranged for next week to speak with professors at Dalhousie, one on the Monday, one on the Friday, to get space in between to sort of noodle on what was said on Monday to apply to Friday. And barring any unexpected surprises, meaning my workload explodes, I do believe that it will be possible to present a policy for your consideration, ideally on the 28th of February.
Any questions of our municipal clerk? Councilor Fancy?
This is off the subject, but can we have a little adjustment on that feedback? I don't know if anybody else, it hurts my ears. Getting a little feedback when you're talking from over there
on the audio.
Too high. Yeah. Like when you're talking there, the feedback is a little hard.
I can certainly ask the recording secretary to have a look into that.
Thank you.
Any other councilors? Councilor Kelly?
I just wanted to make a point. I mean, I know you explained to us, you know, the process that you're going through to do this and the reasoning behind it. But recently that I've been appointed to as a liaison with the CAT, with the agent, with the Queens Community Health Board, and speaking them and liaising between what they're doing and what the region's doing, and when we're talking about policies for the regions and bylaws, that we sort of cast a health lens over what we're doing. Does it could it include that kind of scope that when you're reviewing policies and bylaws?
Where it's appropriate, I would say definitely.
Okay.
And off the top of my head, the one where I would say it's most appropriate for is, for example, sick leave.
Right.
As the policy presently stands, we don't identify, we just say you have sick days.
Right.
But they're not identified as saying, you know, sick where you've got cold or flu, or mental health days.
Right.
I actually executive secretary when we were discussing agrees with me that it would be a good idea to have the same amount of sick days that we have for proper illness as applied for mental health, because that does two things. One, it takes away the stigma of mental health, and two, what it does is if we've got six sick days, if you've got a nasty cold or flu, you could end up using four of them. Well, if people are affected by seasonal affective disorder or any other, any other type of depression that comes up, if you don't have any designated mental health days, then you're at a worst case scenario. You're either taking a vacation day, which isn't appropriate or fair, or you're going over the allotted sick days, which is going to increase cost to the municipality.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councilors? Thank you, Mr. Clerk Ann. Appreciate that very much. We will move on to 9.3, solicitation for Hillview Acres Development Partner. Councilor Johnson.
Point of order. Are we having a vote on that motion? Oh, sorry.
It wasn't a motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. For clarification, it was an information report. Councilor Johnson, would you like to take the lead on 9.3?
Okay. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of the Municipality of Queens, one, give direction to staff to initiate a solicitation designed to identify a development partner that can assist with the development of a facility renewal proposal for Hillsview Acres that achieves the following objectives. A, keeps jobs in the Region of Queens Municipality. B, keeps bids in the Region of Queens Municipality. C, provides an attractive and modern facility in the Region of Queens Municipality. And D, in an evidence-based manner, assists with the minimalization or reduction of service delivery costs for government. The second part of the recommendation is to approve the expenditures up to $10,000 from the Hillsview Acres Replacement Reserve for consulting and legal services required to develop and administer the solicitation process.
Seconder for that motion? Councilor Kelly. Any questions of councilors of that to the, well, before we do that, let's ask the CAO to give us a briefing.
Sure. So today's recommendation brings forward a process to move forward on looking to see what the art of the possible is with respect to the renewal of Hillsview Acres and incubating other housing or bed needs in the Region of Queens. So what this is it's been the region's desire for quite some time to determine a way to renew Hillsview Acres, which is which is an older facility and due for renewal. In fact, in 2013, government had identified it as being slotted for replacement. However, that announcement's never been funded. So, bolstered with some work that we've had coming forward over recent years and quantified, for example, in the survey that the Queens Care Society did last year around housing needs, we know that we have a broad spectrum of housing needs and care required in Queens. So there's been ideas that have come forward over the number of years around how we can incubate some development for these needs in Queens. And this solicitation is to identify a developer that can work with us and work with the community to figure out what the art of the possible is and see if there's a way that we can do this that helps not only meet the municipal objectives of keeping the jobs in Queens, keeping the beds in Queens, and having a modern and attractive facility, but also meets the challenge of government of minimizing or reducing service delivery costs for government. And this, with the approval from council, there would probably be about a 6-month timeframe before a proposal went to government. We'd be a few months in doing the solicitation and identifying the development partner, and then that person would have several months doing some work with the region and in the community around how to create an innovative proposal. One thing that I do want to clarify is the result of the successful proposal will be the right for a developer to work with us to develop something to put forward to government. There is no guarantee that either the region nor the province will accept what results in the proposal. So this is really about enabling us to examine the art of the possible with regards to care and housing in Queens.
So do any councillors have any questions on this issue? Deputy Mayor Pratt.
This is huge for us, as we know. I think we're one of the very few municipal units that own and operate a residential care facility in the province. And with this opportunity, if a developer is found through the sources that we are trying to approve today, does that mean that the developer then will take ownership of that facility and then go to the province for a license to operate it? So that's what you mean by the approval, that the government may not accept this?
CAO?
So through the mayor to council, there are a number of ways that a final proposal could go forward. Really, ultimately, the objective is to find the best solution for the community, whether we're the owner or operator, or owner and operator, or one or the other. I believe we would be open to considering. Mm-hmm.
Councilor Fancy.
So let me direct a question to you again.
Yes.
Back, you said back, I think the statement you said there was back in 2012, the government wanted us basically to eliminate it, or not eliminate, but to get rid of the building. Then where is their stand now? I mean, if they want us to get rid of this, what are they, they're just saying they're not answering, not offering any financial, but they still want us to get rid of the building? Is that the
CAO?
So through the mayor to council, just to clarify, they don't want to get to eliminate the building. They need the beds in Queens. They've been
that's
clear.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that's clear. So they had made a commitment in 2013 that they were going to replace 11 long-term care facilities across the province. However, that commitment's never been funded. Last year, government started to go through a long-term care strategy, doing modeling, and to figure out how they're going to pay for long-term care in the province. And so essentially they've been seeking innovation and proposals and solutions under the current fiscal realities of government. They're really seeking innovation to find ways to help maintain the community's service requirements while minimizing their costs going forward.
Any other councillor? Okay. Are we ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor? Any opinions? Thank you. We have nothing on the agenda under 10-0 Engineering and Works. Under Finance, I would ask Jennifer to come forward. This is the third quarter financial statement ending December 31st. Jennifer, if you'd like to give us the overview.
So nothing major to point out on that statement. This quarter. A number of the categories are looking to be sort of at the max. Tourism, recreation, of course, seasonal based, so the summer months that we've gone by. We've got a little bit higher than our 75% under protective services, but remember the fire department grants are listed on the financial statement in full, contributes to that. And other expenditures. The insurances are all in at full, so skews it a little bit as far as the 75% goes. Mm-hmm. Everything's looking good budget-wise for the amounts that we have in taxation. Most of the appeals are going through. It looks like the commercial have come in a little bit less than we had budgeted for. There were a number of appeals gone through, a little bit more than had been estimated, and we were a little bit under on the appeals that went through in the residential, so that's a little bit higher. The two are offsetting, so that's great. Our e-transfer tax is up, probably a number that everybody took notice of on the financial statement. There were a number of sales, a number of large sales in the year, so that's pushed that forward, and that's good news for us. As we go forward, the mandate of this council has been to try and hold the tax rate or at least maintain, you know, a reasonable tax rate. So that should assist us in our 17-18 budget in doing just that.
Any questions of councilors? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, so let me, again, I guess maybe I should ask first if I can direct my questions to Jennifer. Jennifer, so the deed transfer tax tells us sales, overall sales. So that means there's been upswing in people buying housing and commercial. The commercial, is commercial, do we see that up or down?
I don't have the details on which category they were,
right.
The sales as far as the sales went. I know one large sale was resource-based, a lot of resource property, and a large number of properties, a large number of assessment account numbers in one name. The sale was kind of a mass transfer or mass sale of a number of resource properties. So, and the detransfer tax is based on the assessment value or the sale value of those properties. So.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Jennifer, I went through the statements here, and I just have a couple questions. First of all, it's interesting to know that from the taxation point, we are 100.18% received. So how does that, was that back taxes, or how does that figure come about?
That's actually the billed amount. Receivables aren't reflected in our income statement.
Okay.
So this is the amounts that were billed.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, the balance sheet would be the amounts that have been paid.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're very, 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 very close to what we budgeted. So yeah, that's
okay.
Good.
Right. All right. And I have a question on the parking meters, sales of services, and this is under the revenue as well. We budgeted $12,000,
yeah.
And
we've
received $13,000 to date.
So far.
So far, that's very unusual for our.
I think a lot of that is attributable to the extra position
ex-person?
We had,
right,
assisting Kellyanne in Biola.
Yeah.
So it allowed her to do other things, and then that person was able to concentrate on the meters, whereas normally she's spread rather thin and not able to put as much effort into the meters.
So the next 3 months, and that should be much more than that, of course. We're only in our third quarter.
I believe she intends to remain focused on.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that would offset justification of having that extra person on staff.
That was the hope.
Okay, great. A couple other questions. Under metal sales, we're way up there. Is that to do with Port Mercy?
We don't budget a large amount in metal sales.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of keep it conservative, similar to what we do with contaminated soil. We just stick a minimum in there, and whatever happens. Normally contaminated soil again is over budget. But on the metal sales, we had been stockpiling somewhat over the last couple of years because the commodity price was so low.
Holding out.
And the price went up this year, and so we were able to sell some of what we had on hand.
So the revenue from that, does that go into a reserve or does that go back into operating? How does
it's
that
our
work?
Offset in as far as our landfill transfer goes, where we offset all of our revenue for landfill against all of our expenditures for landfill, and then we reserve the difference in our landfill reserve.
Mm-hmm. And under sundry revenue, you're up, way up, you know, from 20,000 to 51. Do you know what's under the sundry?
Again,
revenue?
With sundry, we budget a minimum amount, not aware of any particular expectation that may be coming through. On this one, there were a couple of insurance claims, just kind of little things that we were able to put through. There was a hydrant damage, there was an amount that came through from a previous year, and we were able to bring back a couple of tax sale surplus values
mm-hmm.
from the 20 years have been up.
Mm-hmm.
in the tax sale surplus. They were smaller amounts, but still they, everything adds up.
So when you say sundry, then if there were expenses going out from those fire hydrants, would have come out of another account on your statement? So this doesn't go back in where it came out?
I put the amount back for the materials that were used and
okay.
the labor, and there's just a little
over.
Bit extra on it.
Okay.
And yeah, put that back.
Deputy Mayor, I'm going to
sorry.
Councilor Muse and
okay.
I'll come back to you if you
know. Susan got it.
I got it, Luna? Okay.
So any other councilors that haven't spoken? I'll come back
I'm
to
fine.
Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
You're
thank
good.
You, Jim.
So everyone's had their questions answered. Thank you, Jennifer, for the presentation. Very appreciate it.